My name is Dr. Gary Collins, and I'm a psychologist. This is a tape about making vocational choices. It was prepared by William Secor, professional counselor and faculty member in the Department of Counseling and Psychology at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois. This tape was not meant to replace a counselor, to answer all your questions, or to solve your problems for you. It is intended as a supplement to counseling, an added plus which your counselor would like you to hear and discuss during some later counseling session. We know that this tape can be helpful to you. Listen now as Mr. Secor talks about vocational choices.
I recall once hearing a speaker discuss the closing of a large manufacturing plant and the psychological impact that it had upon the people of that community. He described how lost and empty many of the veteran employees felt, and how months later, some of them would drive out to the closed plant and sit there and cry. Their company meant much more than just a job. It represented an identity and meaning in life. This illustrates the importance and complexity of the connection between an individual and what one does to earn a living. I also recall a conversation that I had many years ago with a man who probably was at that time about 50 years old. During the discussion, he surprised me by saying, "I hope you never have to know what it is like going to work every day and hating what you are doing, and yet no way to change it." He felt that he was too old to change his profession in the light of the options available to him. It was not that he was in a low-paying or even in a dead-ended job. He just felt that what he was doing was not suited to his personality and temperament, and he felt trapped in his job. Most people will agree that a person's work and personal happiness are closely connected. Even though many wish for the day when they will have nothing to do and when they can enjoy the so-called retired life, others hope to work as long as they are able, irregardless of age. Their sense of worth and feelings of self-esteem depend upon their being able to feel that they are contributing to society. A person's work and attitude regarding that work can play an important part in total life's happiness. The recognition of this explains why new concepts like career education and career planning have become commonplace terms with today's counselors, in contrast to 20 or more years ago. There is also the recognition that the job market has changed. Trades that once were widely needed may be obsolete today, while other jobs which did not exist 30 years ago are now employment areas. The diversity of the job market almost makes it impossible for one counselor to know about every career opportunity that is available. Therefore, this tape will concentrate on several guidelines which may be applied to your situation as you meet with your counselor to discuss your interests and aptitudes. I also would like to share some guidelines regarding training, job hunting, and other issues which have proven to be helpful in counseling. My work as a counselor has given me the opportunity to work with people who are looking for jobs and others who are changing careers. I am amazed at how many other problems work themselves out when an individual finds employment in a trade or profession that is satisfying. There are many theories which try to explain why people choose the work that they do. I don't want to discuss theories here, but I would like to share in a practical way several ideas from two men. John Holland, one of the most well-known of vocational researchers, suggests that a person's career choice is a reflection of one's personality. As an individual experiences the world of work throughout early employment years, there is an eventual movement into an area of work that is compatible with the personality characteristics that one possesses. He has also divided the world of work into categories which suggest personality traits. According to his studies, vocations and professions can be described by characteristics which parallel people's personalities. The task in vocational counseling is to match an individual's personality with the personality characteristics of a particular type of profession. Of course, this is stated in an oversimplified way, but the point is that an individual's personality is an important factor in considering the type of work that would be enjoyable and satisfying. Another researcher, David Hershenson, of the Illinois Institute of Technology, has made some other interesting observations regarding work and choices we make to end up in the jobs that we do. One aspect of his work, which might be helpful for our understanding, concerns the impact of our choices upon our later life. He feels that the choices we make, even as far back as high school, can limit our later career plans. Let me illustrate by using an imagined situation. Suppose we are friends with Fred, a young man entering high school. Even as he makes the choice to enter one or another of the training programs, he is affecting his future. If he chooses the non-academic option, he is limiting his choice of colleges that will accept him in 4 years. His teachers will treat him with a different attitude than they treat those who may be working toward entrance into the highly selective colleges. Hershenson explains that every vocationally relevant decision limits the range of the possible later experiences of the person. After Fred graduates from high school, the schools available to him are fewer, and he may choose a vocational program in a community college. This again limits the job choices in the future, as he will not have the background for most professional or even graduate schools. For Hershenson observes, as the range of life experience gets smaller, the range of choices that are open to him becomes fewer. Soon, according to this theory, a person's options narrow more and more until one settles into an area of work that is still open to him. This does not mean he will not or will like the work. It does, however, stress the importance of correct decisions at an early age. Decisions should take into consideration an individual's personality, abilities, and talents. This is not to imply that a person cannot change vocations or professions, but it does suggest that it is difficult and often involves a lot of work to go back and make up the missed educational experiences. How much better it is to obtain proper guidance before too many options are closed out. Consider also the importance that a good vocational adjustment can have on one's personal life. If you are in a job that pleases you, your attitude about life and your self-concept is more positive. I would assume that your feelings of satisfaction would contribute to your ability to get along with others. This could, in turn, provide you with a fuller, more satisfied social life. Your marriage might be expected to be better. If you enjoy your work and have fewer frustrations with that aspect of life, you will probably deal more effectively with the normal problems of any marriage. Many marriage and family conflicts might be lessened if the husband could be happy in his job. Good vocational adjustment could have a positive effect on job promotion. One who is happy in a job and performs the work with a good attitude will probably be noticed by supervisors and recognized as the type of person who should be advanced. Do not neglect the fact that education is important in most of the technical and professional jobs. Even the trade unions are requiring a year or two of post-high school training as part of the apprentice program, which may also include a test for state licensing in trades such as plumbing, electrician, or other skilled professions. Even though we hear stories about people being overqualified for jobs, the fact is that too many are underqualified. Do not close your mind to school, even though it is distasteful to you. At least post-high school training can allow you to focus in on subjects and skills which interest you, and that always makes education more interesting. Since this tape is intended to be shared with your counselor and provide areas for discussion, I will leave the topics of aptitudes, interests, and talents for that relationship. I would like to suggest some facts to consider regarding personality and the type of work one should think about. Consider the aspects of a particular profession or vocation that might relate to personality. Some people do not like to work in a job where they have to remain in one place. To sit in an office or in one location in a factory is very distasteful. Therefore, mobile versus stationary aspects of a job should be evaluated. Supervision is another characteristic of employment. Some jobs have close supervision, while others have very little, since the individual doing the job is expected to be responsible and knowledgeable enough to function without supervision. While one person would be uncomfortable seeing the boss all the time, the same situation would provide security for another. There are many other factors which should be considered in the same fashion. The very characteristic one person finds pleasing about a job could be the factor to discourage another. Is the job people-related or non-people-related, research-oriented, service-oriented, or possibly sales-oriented? Is it open for advancement, or must you change companies to advance? Are you paid by commission or salary? One could go on, but a job seeker should have several of these characteristics in mind when evaluating any position available. Better to turn down a job at the beginning than to take one that would simply grate against too many personality traits and cause you to quit or be miserable if you stayed on. Probably job hunting is one of the most distasteful aspects of life, whether or not you are doing it for the first time or have done it before. There are many unpleasant psychological emotions that go with this task. Probably the most common emotion one feels when not hired is personal rejection. It is as if I am turned down because of not being liked, and it is hard to repeat this type of experience time after time. I have known individuals who have been desperately in need of employment, but could not muster the courage to apply for work because of the rejection fear. Some find this is something that they have to work through with a counselor. For others, the filling out of the employment application is an unpleasant task, because it gives rise to the feeling of being vulnerable. After all, you have to put down many things which reveal yourself in a way very few other tasks do. When these two things are coupled with the interviewing process, is it any wonder that many do all they can to avoid the tensions of job hunting? Many career counselors suggest obtaining sample employment applications and filling them out at home. This can give you an understanding of what may be expected on employment applications in general. After all, how many different questions can they think up? Others suggest a technique called role-playing to help a person prepare for the actual employment interview. With a counselor or friend, actually pretend you are in an employment interview. This can prepare you in answering questions that may very well be asked by a personnel counselor. At times, I have counseled individuals who have hesitated to apply for a job because their qualifications did not exactly match the advertised job descriptions. Yet, when they did apply, they were offered the job. Why? They failed to realize that the job description represented the ideal qualifications that the employee wished to hire, but the person actually given the job possessed the best all-around characteristics available. This is important to keep in mind when you feel you lack some of the requirements for a job. You may be the best available applicant. Why not take a chance? I also feel that applying for a position, even when you feel the chances of a job are not good, gives valuable experience which can help you feel relaxed when the interview may be for a job you really want. Another fact which I have noticed in counseling relates to our emotions in a new job. When an individual enters a new job, there is a general strangeness of the environment due to the newness of the situation. This is often a time when many have periods of regret for taking the job. For one who is entering the job market for the first time, many of the expectations are not realized. This can cause discouragement, and sometime a person will terminate the job prematurely. Those who have worked for some time in one company often find a similar problem in changing jobs. They have the added factor of feeling comfortable in the particular company that they have worked for. They are also familiar with the methods, expectations, and the many ways of running a business from one point of view. When they change jobs, a comfortable, familiar way of life is interrupted. The new company has its own ways of doing the same things. This, plus being in a new and different environment, can lead to discouragement, anxiety, regret over leaving the old company, and even physical symptoms. Be aware of these influences and expect them, and they will not have as great an impact upon you. It is probably a good idea for some to expect from 3 to 6 months of time to pass in getting adjusted to a new job. The manager of a large engineering staff once told me that his company was aware that as you entered your late 30s, you became less and less flexible. They tried to prepare their employees, entering that age range and older, for change and transfers well ahead of the time they were to occur. This helped provide a more relaxed atmosphere and more loyal employees. Emotions also play a part with those who make midlife career changes. I have done this twice, once in my 30s and again in my 40s. The uncertainty of the wisdom of the choice when things get stressful is a source of temptation. When you change from a job where you are recognized as competent and you feel confident in your work, it is difficult to start at the bottom again. Many times you have to take a salary cut, for you are treated the same as a younger, new employee. And in some ways you are in the same position. Your confidence can be hurt if you are expected to perform according to your age level rather than to your experience level. It can also be stressful to realize that we are to take orders from a superior who is much younger than us. Throughout my education, most of my teachers were younger than me, yet possessing more experience and expertise in their discipline than I could ever hope to attain. My awareness of this probability before making the changes was a great help during the times of discouragement. The knowledge that your family is behind the new direction is an important source of strength. If your change was based on God's leading, it is well to keep this at the front of your mind when tempted to return to the former, more familiar vocational way of life. We are in a time when many are making mid-career changes, and yet more research is needed regarding what a person should expect emotionally. Finally, for those of us who have made a commitment to Christ, there is the biblical teaching on the stewardship of life. This tape and its suggestions are not intended to replace God's special leading into some form of ministry or life's work. In fact, the responsibility we have for the talents and gifts entrusted to us is considered a serious matter in the light of the teaching of Matthew 25:14-29. In this portion of Scripture, God is calling those to account for those talents that they have been given. The teaching here may be applied to our lives and what we do with our gifts and abilities. I feel that the guidelines which I have discussed are consistent with the Scripture in regard to the calling of God. Each individual's personality and abilities are known to God, and each person should make certain of God's calling in life. This is a subject to discuss with a counselor or some other person with spiritual maturity who can give guidance. A person who is now around 20 years old has about 40 to 45 years of life to consider investing in some form of work. It is my contention that this time is very short against the measurement of eternity. Many who should consider God's calling first may not do it at all. I am impressed with the number of students in their 30s and 40s who are on the campus at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School where I teach. They recognize the need for serving God and finding His will for their lives. I am sure that this is also true of many other seminaries and Bible colleges. These students are sharpening their gifts, as spoken of in Ephesians 4:11-12, where it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All of us have our own calling. The Bible states principles of life and attitudes toward work and service. In whatever employment situation we find ourselves, the overriding principle set forth by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, applies. It reads, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." I interpret this as Paul expecting each one of us to do our work, whether secular or religious, as if we are working for God. If this is attempted, our employers will get the benefit of our dedication to God, but we will get the benefit of self-satisfaction, knowing our work is performed faithfully. I would think this might result in a better attitude toward our jobs and happier selves. I hope this tape stirs up some profitable discussion as you consider your vocational calling.
This completes side one of the tape. On your guide sheet are some questions prepared by Mr. Secor, questions which concern your choosing of a vocation. Please write down your answer to these questions before turning over the tape and listening to side. On side one of this tape, William Secor talked about choosing a career. He discussed why people choose the work they do. He mentioned the importance of good vocational adjustment. He talked about job hunting and about adjusting to a new job. He finished the tape by talking about the stewardship of life. Mr. Secor has suggested some other things that you might do to help with your job choosing activities. If you have never visited a state employment center, take time for such a visit. The yellow pages of your telephone directory will probably tell you how to find the state employment center. Talk with a vocational counselor and ask him or her about the general aptitude test battery. As this is a part of the government, they will probably allow you to take these tests free if you wish. Ask them to show you how you can check available jobs on their computer. Government agencies can be helpful in finding jobs and in choosing a career. Your local community college can also be helpful. Many local community colleges have a vocational counseling center. Visit that center and ask about their services. They will usually be happy to answer your questions and to tell you about their services and fees. Many of these centers will be able to give you vocational tests that can help in your choice of a vocation. Then, Mr. Secor suggests that you read a book written by Richard N. Bolles, B-O-L-L-E-S. The book is entitled, What Color is Your Parachute? And it's published by 10 Speed Press. You might want to read the book because it helps you to develop a plan for job hunting. It's an excellent book with some job hunting principles outlined clearly. Now we would like to suggest an activity that might help you in selecting a vocation. Have a friend or your spouse play the role of a personnel director. You might even get an application form from a stationery store or from some company in your neighborhood and fill it out. Pretend that you are applying for a job. You are the applicant. Your friend or your spouse is interviewing you as the personnel director. You act the role of the applicant. Then switch roles and you be the interviewer. After you have done this, discuss the questions and the answers that have been given. Tape record the session, if you like, and listen to the tape. Evaluate your answers, your tone of voice, the clarity with which you spoke. Can you learn anything from this that would help you in selecting a job or finding a career? Stop the tape and do this now. Now we would like you to listen as a man named Mike talks to his counselor. Listen carefully as Mike and his counselor talk.
I really want a job I could enjoy.
Well, what about your present job?
Oh, it's okay. I make a good salary. I guess I could move ahead if I stay long enough, but I get real upset with it.
Can you pinpoint what upsets you?
Well, I've been thinking about when I like it best, and it seems that if I can go out to visit the customers, then I like it more.
What do you do when you don't go out?
I work on the machines the salesmen bring back from customers. Sometimes the customers don't want to give up the machine since they need it. Then they'll send me out because I'm known as a good troubleshooter.
Do you have special training?
Yes, I graduated from an electronics program at our community college. My company also sent me for more training on our machines.
If you could arrange it, how could your present job be more appealing to you?
I spend as little time alone in that repair department as possible. I'd also transfer my boss. He can't fix anything, but he's always looking over my shoulder. Nothing ever pleases him, and I know what I'm doing.
Well, as I see it, Mike, you don't like being stuck in one place all the time. And you like to be allowed to have responsibility for what you know how to do. Is there a job available in your company like you want? Or do you know of a company who could use your skills in the way you want?
On your guide sheet, there are some questions about the discussion which Mike had with his counselor. What about Mike's situation is similar to yours? Be specific. How would you answer the counselor's question to Mike? If you could arrange it, how could your present job appeal to you? Please stop the tape and write down answers to these questions. On this side of the tape, we have made several suggestions which you might want to discuss with your counselor when you return for further consultations. If you are listening to this tape, it may be that you are a young person choosing a job and a career for the first time. Perhaps you are considering a change in vocation. Perhaps you are happy with your job but would like to add a part-time position, and that is the reason you're seeking counseling. Perhaps you are approaching retirement and are planning for a vocation after you retire from your present work. Your counselor can help you to look at your strengths and weaknesses, at your interests, at the skills which you have. As you talk to the counselor, you may want to discuss several questions, especially about a job that you might be considering. What is the nature of that work? What personal qualifications are needed in terms of skills and abilities and interests and experience or physical requirements? Can you meet these qualifications? What training is required? Where is training available? How long does it take and what does it cost? Can anyone enter the occupation? Or are there educational, age, sex, religious, or other restrictions? And how does this apply to you? What are the working conditions of the vocation that you might be considering? What is the starting and potential salary? Don't forget to include the fringe benefits. How would this job influence your personal life in terms of issues such as the need for travel, overtime, Sunday work, or shifting to a different geographical location? Would this new position require the compromising of your ethical principles or the ignoring of your religious beliefs? And what is the potential for the future in this job, in terms of its lasting as a vocation, in terms of its remaining available for openings, for giving you opportunities for advancement, and preparing you to move on to other satisfying work? And then, how does this vocation that you are considering fit in with your desire to serve Christ and to utilize your God-given abilities and gifts? It is important for you to ask questions like this about a job. What is the job like? And it's also important for you to ask questions about God. What does God want? What does he want for you? One thing is certain. The Scriptures teach us that God will guide us when we make decisions in life. In Proverbs we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Very often, he directs your paths through the influence of a sensitive counselor. Go back to your counselor now and discuss the issues which were raised with this tape. This is the end of the tape on vocational counseling. When you return to your counselor, don't forget to take the tape with you and take along any notes that were taken as you listened to the tape. The examples on this tape are either fictitious or used with the permission of the people involved. Any resemblance to people that you might know is purely a coincidence.